do not take for granted how you got here. I do not take for granted that you have put yourself in this place for this time, and that you have numbered yourself among God's worshiping people. That's a significant thing you're doing, and I'm grateful to all of you for your presence here this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we seek to take you seriously as we come here in this place. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for these seats we're in, these walls, these floors. Thank you for the tradition that this congregation has experienced over a number of years. Thank you for the people who've had an effect on us individually. We pray now your blessing upon what we're about here. We ask that your word be a source of encouragement and enlightenment. Let your word be a true lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday evening, Georgia and I went to Harris Teeter, and we got some supplies for this week. And coming out of Harris Teeter, we were behind two cars, and we noticed that the first car was turning left, and it was hesitating. And then all of a sudden, the car immediately in front of us, the guy started blowing his horn. And suddenly, the guy in the second car, the guy in front of us, got out of his car and started shouting at the person in the first car. And we noticed that there was a person of color in the first car, and the guy in the car ahead of us was a white guy. They were shouting at each other. Immediately, we thought, good grief, road rage right here in front of us. And Georgia said, be careful, back away. You don't know if somebody has a weapon. Immediately, the fellow in the car ahead of us sped around the first car and took off. The guy who had his left turn signal on changed his left turn signal to turn right and went after the guy. Right here in front of us, road rage. Clearly, it seems clear to me that something was going on in the person who was angry. And there was a flashpoint there. I don't know what was going on in their lives, but something touched off a frustration. Somebody felt threatened. Somebody felt angered by that moment. And we saw it playing out in front of us. Now, that's happening among men and women and all kinds of people in our culture right now in this world. And often you and I can't do anything about it. I try to address it with a sermon series, and I can't even touch it really. But what I can do is offer God's word to you and me, and you and I can consider the things that make us frightened. One of the elders of our church has said to me appropriately that it's those things that make us frightened that we get angry about, because frankly, it's anger is a response to being threatened or frightened. And with that in mind, I want to share with you Psalm 46 today. I believe it offers us a way to move out of anger, out of what threatens us, out of what makes us fearful, into a place of gratitude and thanksgiving. And so hear the word of God as it comes from this Good News translation, Psalm 46. God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and mountains fall into the ocean depths. Even if the seas roar and rage and the hills are shaken by the violence. There is a river that brings joy to the city of God, to the sacred house of the Most High. God is in that city, and it will never be destroyed. At early dawn, he will come to its aid. Nations are terrified. Kingdoms are shaken. God thunders, and the earth dissolves. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and see what the Lord has done. See what amazing things he has done on earth. He stops wars all over the world. He breaks bows, destroys spears, and sets shields on fire. Stop fighting, he says, and know that I am God, supreme among the nations, supreme over the world. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When a person is afraid or in trouble, he or she wants help immediately. And Psalm 46 is a declaration explaining how God is a present help in trouble. And one stanza explains how God works, and the other aims to connect someone to God. And so this morning, walk with me through these words as we go through Psalm 46. If you want to get out the Pew Bible and open that and maybe put it on your lap in front of you, or if you have your own Bible, it would be useful to have that access to walk through these words together so that we can perhaps, if this is an issue for us, crawl out of anger or anxiety or threat or fear into gratitude. Now, the opening words of the psalm are a statement of faith. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. It is a faith claim. It's an affirmation that God is the one to whom we go when we need protection, when we need help, when we need resolve and assistance with life. And this is a powerful statement in my mind. And this is what God does. Somehow, as a result of God being refuge and strength and help, we will not be frightened. The circumstances that are threatening will no longer threaten. Our anxiety will be addressed. There will no longer be reason to fear. And if you're like me, you wonder, how in the world does this work? I'm not entirely sure. But I believe that the grace of God and our own faith in God, or our desire for faith in God, is enacted, and somehow God uses that for good in our lives to bring us to a place where we are no longer afraid. Of course, the faith of this psalm is the faith of someone over 20 centuries ago. But it's my story, and it's the church's story, that says to us this is real and this is helpful and that this is a resource for us in times of need. Despite the world's changing, despite everything being turned upside down, despite the noise being created by upheaval, despite the earth shaking under our feet, this psalm says, we will not fear. And if you can accept the fact that this psalm has described my experience and that of others, then this morning you may consider what it has to say. I hope you will consider what it has to say. Is there a place for us to do anything? Of course there is. In fact, there will be the need for us to work and work very hard. But before we get there, can we start with our faith? Can we start with the claims of the psalm? Can we consider God having a role in this moment when we're scared? I want us to give this a try. The first stanza speaks of God's ability to make a difference. And it explains four realities that change things: God's grace, God's presence, God's promise, and God's voice. Those are four realities in the life of people of faith that changes things: God's grace, God's presence, God's promise, and God's voice. And we begin with God's grace. And this thing is slipping away from me. In one translation, it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." There's no river in Jerusalem. There were aqueducts built under the city of Jerusalem, but there are no rivers in Jerusalem. There never has been. Have you ever sat by a river and watched the water flow downstream? There's such power in a river's flow. There's such a force in the flow of a river. There has been a river of God's grace at work in the lives of Jerusalem's people, and there has been a river of God's working in the lives of people of faith, and it is God's kindness and mercy and God's initiative that has been a river flowing in the life of this congregation. There's been a river flowing right through the middle of Meadow Lake Presbyterian Church for years. And you're going to say, "Oh, I don't see any river." Well, it's been a river of grace and kindness and mercy and hospitality. Saved by God's grace through faith is the watchword of the Protestant Reformation. And it is here suggested by the gladness evoked in a stream of God's care. The first reality, we are told, is God's ability to make us glad. And the second part of this verse suggests the next reality, God's presence. Jerusalem is the holy habitation of God, and God is in the midst of the city. This psalm seems to highlight God's presence more than one way. God is a present help. Both stanzas end with this phrase, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." God being present changes things. And the opening message of Jesus' first sermon, according to the Gospel of Mark, is the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The presence of a dear friend matters in a difficult moment. It brings a smile to our face. Someone has said that the word "with" is the most important word in the Gospels. Jesus is with his disciples always. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not only does God's grace change our lives, but also God's presence comforts and sustains and makes us strong. Next, God's promise spoken at the right moment can turn us around. We've read that Jerusalem, the city, it shall not be moved. And then the psalm says, God will help it when the morning dawns. Now, here are two promises that speak of God's protection, particularly as our day begins. The city will not fall, the city will not be shaken, and God promises to help it as the day begins, as the sun creeps over the horizon. Now, the thing about promises is it creates expectation in you and me. If you've been worried about something through the night, this psalm puts in you and me an expectation that when the morning dawns, things are going to be better. Often struggles begin to unwind with the beginning of a new day. And the psalmist attaches a time factor here. God is going to help us as the day begins. Finally, the reality that makes the world new is God's voice. The nations of the world may be falling apart, governments may be collapsing, but when God speaks, the world is put in place as it should be. He utters his voice, the earth melts. We say we rely on God speaking. We actually built sanctuaries, and we put pulpits just like this one at center stage so that we hear God's voice. And sometimes we forget that God created the world according to Genesis by speaking it into being. Jesus heals one man by telling him his sin is forgiven. And then he says to him, stand up and take your mat and walk. And he tells another with a withered hand to stretch it out. And his life is changed. It is God's voice that you and I are trying to hear in what we're doing right now. And what you're sitting there listening and looking at pictures and hearing the words that I have to share, we're engaged in an effort to hear God's voice. And so it is the divine ring of truth that sounds credible and allows us to become new people. Understand how God works according to Psalm 46. God offers divine care, God shows up, God makes promises, and God speaks into being a new order. And so if the first stanza is about God working, then the second stanza is about getting connected to God working. And the psalmist offers the invitation, come and see God working. Come and see God for yourself. See what God is doing. Come behold the works of the Lord. Come and see where God has taken apart the forces for evil and bad in the world. And so this is a call to look around and opens one's eyes with faith. It doesn't require a seminary degree. It might use our imagination a bit, but it requires faith to look for God in the world. Where do we see God at work? Where can we identify things which genuinely show God's handprint? Well, let's think about them. This gathering this morning is a work of God. This congregation and its intended ministry in the world is a work of God. But so are the foliage, and you look out that window and see the green grass and the bushes and look at this forest. That's a work of God. The blue sky is a work of God. I suspect there are other realities in your life as you think about it. God did that. I think it's important for us to begin to list the works of God, particularly when we are fearful. Begin to wonder with faith about where God is active. And as we do this, we have our focus changed from what it is that is threatening us to what it is for which we can be grateful. Now, that guy in front of me last night, he wasn't going to sit there and listen to me say, well, let me list the things for which I'm thankful. But it probably wouldn't have been a bad idea. Perhaps one powerful work God keeps doing is this one right here. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. The 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th hour was not just a celebration for the end of World War I. It was a moment that God's work somehow came to a brief conclusion. And there were angels singing in heaven that the forces on different sides of the cannons and the guns ceased. This is the work of God. Now, once we get our heads around God working, God speaks to us directly in this psalm. And God says, be still and know that I am God. Stop your fighting were the words that today's English version, the Good News translation, and scholars would tell us that's probably the best most faithful translation here. But often we see in cards and we see in other places these words. I think they also work well because God is saying, stop what you're doing. Throw down your weapons. Be still and know that I am God. This is the verse for which this psalm is known, and it calls you and me to get still and get quiet. It calls us to quit squirming and know that God is God. Now, I know that a number of you do this, that you practice this in some sort of personal way with prayer, but I can also guess that a number of you do not do it. And it is quite a challenge in the midst of a struggle and a difficult time to be still. It may even be a taller order to know that God is God. But this call to stillness, I think, is an important clue for us in using this psalm. Because if we pay attention to God working and if we identify God's work, we are prepared to come to a moment where we sit still with our bodies and our minds. And sometimes that may be impossible to do, but yet God speaks and he asks this of us, be still, stop what you're doing and know that I'm God. Know that I'm God over you. Know that I'm God over this thing that is scaring you to death. These days, I think the world is busier than ever, and I suspect you may be busier than ever. And in getting still, God asks us to know that God is present in our busyness and that God is able to speak and change everything. I believe it is in the stillness where we are vulnerable and quiet that we allow ourselves to have anxiety and fear removed. You see, this is not a guided meditation. It simply says, be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations and I'm exalted in the earth. And then the psalm concludes one more time with this refrain, the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge. God is the one who moves us out of anger into gratitude. And so getting grateful, being truly thankful, is God's doing. It's not our doing. This morning, I commend to you these two moves in Psalm 46. In the first place, we're told how God works. God is gracious, God is present, God makes promises, and God speaks. And then secondly, we are invited to see and list the works of God for ourselves. And then God invites us to be still, to sit still, to calm down, to get quiet, and know that God is God over everything that is, even over our fears and anxieties. Now, I can't do that for large groups of people in this world. And the matter of what creates road rage and all the other things around us that make people angry, we can't control that. But we can control ourselves, perhaps. And Psalm 46 is a great resource. It claims this is the journey out of anger to gratitude. May all who are angry and all who are fearful or ever will be fearful learn the power of God from the words of this psalm. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your willingness for us to move to another place with all that troubles us. Often we ask for your help in our need to be healed, in our need to be transformed, in our need to face situations that we could have never imagined for ourselves. We pray that you would enable us to be still and know that you're God. Enable us to know how you are at work and enable us to be engaged with you in thinking of all the ways we see you working in this world. Thank you for this psalm and its effective use in our lives. Help us as a congregation to apply it and use it to the end that we are grateful all our days for all that you are doing in and with and through us. We say these prayers in Jesus' name and for his sake in our lives. Amen. I invite you to respond to God's word by by standing and joining with me in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed. Let us say what we believe about Almighty God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. This is a moment for us to pause and share with one another our prayer concerns. And if I could simply find a pen, I would be able to do that. I've got one. Thank you. I appreciate that. I've got one, Eller. Thank you. Thanks. What are your prayer concerns on this Sunday before Thanksgiving? Ina.
I have a friend. I don't want to name her. She's having a lot of struggles with her son. And he's getting into drugs and not doing well in school. And she's not a believer, but yet she says I can pray for her. So there's hope.
There is hope. There's always hope. We'll pray for your friend's son. Other prayer concerns? Michelle.
I have two. I have a praise and a request. My praise is that Olivia did get into from as her first choice.
Great. Congratulations.
She's very, very excited. The concern, unfortunately, last night, she has two friends. His name is Grant Geis, Geis, I think. He's a senior at Huff, and he was with another boy, Andre Morales. Was in ROTC with them. They were speeding and went over a guardrail, and Andre unfortunately passed.
Oh my goodness.
Grant is in, they're not expecting him to live either, so it's tragedy. So just prayers for those families, for the students, and all those who know them.
Wow. Thank you, Michelle. Those are rather sobering. Other prayer concerns, Brandy. That's good. Indeed. We'll pray for your dad. What is his name? David. We'll pray for David. Bless him. Thank you. Other prayer concerns? We will pray for you and for all traveling, and I'm sure there are others here as well. Eleanor. Absolutely. There are a lot of homeless people created, homeless souls out there, and that's an amazing reality, and that's tough, but it is reality. Others? What I want to do this morning, not quickly, but fairly briefly, is use the Lord's Prayer as a way to address these. And so a guided version of the Lord's Prayer. Then pray with me, please. Almighty God, these people have, we have come here together and taken time to be not only in each other's presence, but more importantly in your presence. Our Father who art in heaven, we pray that your name would be hallowed. And we pray that not only what we do here, but what we do today and what we do this week would give glory to your name. And we pray that the Church of Jesus Christ would bring glory to your name. We pray that all the religions of the world would bring glory to your name somehow. And we pray that what happens on this earth would hallow your name. This morning we have enumerated the names of people who have touched our hearts and our lives. We think of Ina's friend and her son. We think of Olivia, and we also think of these two families that Michelle has mentioned, and we pray comfort for them. We pray for Brandy's father, David. We pray for Lucy and Dick, but all who are on the highway. And with Eleanor, we remember all of these who are affected by these California fires. We pray for those who now are homeless because of that. Lord, for all of these, we pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And even more, I'm sure, as I stand here, that there are people in our company who are in pain and who are worried and who are suffering and who are hurting. People who are afraid. We pray for them for healing and comfort and help. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray for ourselves that in ministering to one another, in being the people you want us to be, give us this day our daily bread. We know that we're less than perfect. We ask that you'd forgive us our debts. In the same way that we are enabled to forgive those who are in debt to us, enable us, Lord, to have the grace to forgive those who have done us wrong. We would ask that you would not allow us to fall into temptation. When temptation comes our way, provide us with what we need to stand against it. Almighty God, deliver us and deliver this world from evil. It seems there is such malevolence and intentional evil that is at work. We pray that you deliver us and deliver all from evil. We come here this day because thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen.